This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate me or love me, you watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Hey. Hey. That's how the... This is Young Metro, yeah?
It's Metro Boomin' and Future, I know that.
Woo! There we go. What's poppin', y'all? What's happening? Good morning. Everybody.
Making me a little younger with the opening this morning. I like it. Making me feel good.
That's what we do here, you know? So, good to see you, bud.
What up?
You look good in that number one chair over there.
Happy Sunday.
I'll be honest, man.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, that's way too nice of you to say.
You look good over there, bro. So
feeling comfy.
Oh, well, you should be, man. Well, if you haven't noticed by now, this smooth baritone is not Joe Fish. Joe Fisher is... Where the hell did Joe go?
He is going. It is a coastal fishing trip, right? With Joe Fish.
Joe,
the second, because he's Joe Fish 3.
Yeah, Joe Fish 3 has the most incredible white guy weekends ever. He doesn't just, seriously, he's not just, oh, I'm just going to go crabbing or something like that, or I'm just going to go take the lady and go to the beach. Like, no, I was like, oh, yeah, I might be going to play Augusta this weekend, you know, or I think he's going on a fishing trip in the middle of the ocean, right? They said they're going like 20 miles out, miles out.
Him and primetime producer Ryan Buckley seem to have like the greatest white privilege here on the station.
Man, I love it, man.
I think it was 20 miles out, by the way, what you're referring to for Joe.
Way too far to be into the ocean, 20 miles out to go fishing. But
I'd get so sick.
Oh, my God, I can't do it, man. So we had to call in the closer, man. We called in the homie Will. What's going on, Big Willie?
Not much, man. Just enjoying a nice little Sunday of playoff action, NHL and NBA.
So for a minute, yes. When Jordan was like, oh, I'm going to get Will to come, I don't know why. I was thinking, you're going to get Will Darkins to come in? Like, not even thinking about it. Then walk in, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun today, man. And I must say, Will, mm-hmm. Looking shredded, bro.
Trying to, man.
Looking shredded.
It helps that all my old clothes that I still wear are all like my fat guy clothes. So it looks like it's even more so.
Slim fit.
Although I'm starting to swim in my clothes, and I don't love that.
That's the bad part about working out or really starting to look good again is like mm-hmm. You have to go buy
new clothes.
Stuff,
yeah.
New everything. Like that shirt that looked so good on you before.
Not
it's a,
anymore.
It's a little big now.
Little right?
Funny. Yeah, yeah. A little big now. A little extra material.
The other one, too, is my Instagram. It's like every third slide on those, are those reels or shorts, whatever. It's a, look at how good this guy looks in this shirt. And it's tight on your arms, but it's loose on your belly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, He does look good in that shirt. What would I look like in that shirt? I've made too many Instagram purchases recently.
So I need to know.
Look good.
So do you have the review for those shirts? Because I've seen
them.
As a fellow chubby guy, and I'm way chubbier than you, Will. I think you're just tall, so you fall into the big aspect of those ads, not the chubby like me. But hey, if they work, dude, I might buy a couple myself.
They're
get
slimming.
Ads.
They are very slimming, and I'm just a. I'm a black t-shirt guy, you know, a lot of times. So if I'm going out and doing something, can kind of slide that on. It's like, oh, man, I've really been in the gym for a little bit, haven't I?
Right. So, it fits perfect. I also, the lightweight hoodie, big fan.
Yes.
And they're probably about to go on sale because it's right at the end of lightweight hoodie season. Because you're getting into t-shirt season with the summer coming up.
Lightweight hoodies in themselves are A, very slimming, and B, very available in like all your team's favorite colors and cuts. Because every league now, Fanatics and Nike have kind of just streamlined the process. So even
smart.
No, it is. Because like, even the shirt that I'm wearing for Seattle Mariners, there's like NBA teams that with this same style shirt that you can go buy on Fanatics.com.
So yeah, rinse, repeat. And if people are going to keep buying it, then I'm sure you've got four of those.
Maybe two, not four. Okay, yeah, like, exactly. All right, Tustry, I got two.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I have no team issued like apparel. I have three jerseys. I have a Pittsburgh Penguin jersey. I have a New York Rangers jersey, and I have a Central Washington hockey jersey. So all of my jerseys are hockey. Other than that, I've realized I don't have any like Mariners gear. Mariner fan. Don't have any Seahawks gear. Don't have any Duck gear. I am a fan of all these teams, but I just realized, like, I don't buy it. Like, on opening day, everyone's like, where's your Mariners hat? You're a Mariners fan. It's, I don't have a Mariners hat.
Yeah, I feel you. Like, at a point, I was a big hat guy. Like, I had a whole bunch of hats, and the one team I kept buying was the New England Patriots. Like, that's my squad. So, bunch of Patriot hats.
We're going to get to them today, by the way.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
But a bunch of Pats hat, but for the most part, other than that, I have some Blazers. I have a Blazers hoodie and like a zip up, but outside of that, I have two jerseys, but they're both fictional characters. I have a Bobby Boucher Bourbon Bowl
that
jersey.
Nice. That is hot.
And I have an Adam Banks Mighty Ducks.
What? You've worn that in.
Yeah.
You've worn the Banks Mighty Ducks jersey in.
I'm not a big, and we've talked about this before, I think last week, I'm not a big guys wearing a jersey, you know, kind of guy.
You're wearing another man's jersey that makes you less
weird.
Of a man?
Feels a little weird as you're older, you know, maybe as you're a little bit older. Like, if you're a kid, like we were talking about, Jordan said he got these jerseys when he was like 18. I was like, well, you're still a kid when you're
right
18,
with the
19.
Name. Well, the personalized,
that,
the Schultzies.
That makes sense, especially if you're a grown up with a personalized jersey. Like, come on, bro.
Guys, I'm on come the wrong on. Show. I literally have a closet full not only of personalized and team player jerseys, like I've got a Carmelo Anthony 00 Blazers jersey in my closet. Mm. I've got the Dame PDX carpet. I've got a Schultzie Blazers jersey. I mean, I'm wearing Mariners shorts. On top of the Mariners hat and the Mariners shirt that I came in. I got a Mariners jacket sitting by the Kim Jong-un pillow.
He saw the mannequin and was like, ooh.
Well, look, dude, you're a fan, man. Look, I'm not here to dump on anyone's fashion.
I'm almost disgusting myself right now.
No.
My God.
But, like, you shouldn't, like, own it. If that's your thing, that's your thing, man. Everyone has their own, like, different form
Mariners
of fashion.
Guy.
Yeah,
man,
you're.
We know that now.
You're
a team guy.
You're a big sports guy. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I really want to wear the joggers. Like, I see joggers all the time. Suk's a big jogger guy. Like, he wears joggers all the time. I see him on my Instagram all the time. They look awesome. I can't bring myself to make the purchase.
Why?
I don't know if I'm ready to go into jogger territory. Like, I don't know if I'm cool enough to wear the jogger.
You absolutely are.
Yeah.
And the cool part about joggers is, depending on the ones you get, for those who don't know, you know, joggers are their pants, you know, but they're tapered at the bottom and everything.
And they're nice enough now to, like, you can wear them out in public and no one cares.
No one's upset with you. You can get a nice pair and even kind of dress them up for the evening and stuff like that if you really wanted to. So,
you know, athleisure wear really is a thing now. We had a guy that I was out dancing with last night, drank way too much. It was awesome, but I am admittedly feeling it this morning if we're in the trust tree. But he was wearing a velour jumpsuit. And wore the hell out of it all night. I think by the end, because he was so sweaty, took the jacket off. But dude rocked it, and I was pretty proud of him. And Will, he's probably your size, like 6'4", 6'5", like former football player status.
Too big to be wearing a damn velour jumpsuit. the whole thing. Maybe just the pants. Maybe just the jacket. Yeah. But a whole jumpsuit, sweatsuit like that, especially velour, is like double denim.
Yeah, you know, not a jumpsuit guy either. Although, you know what? I might be, because I'm also getting these. Instagram is really just becoming a big shopping place for me.
Don't say anything, because as soon as you say something, it's like, oh, I was just talking about that. There it goes.
It's too late. They're all over. Do you know what, like, Temu is or whatever?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Temu, yes.
Whatever it is. All the time, they're throwing up, like, beachwear now, and they all look good, and it's the top and the bottom. And
don't do it.
I'm diving into the shorter short, you know, like the 7-5 inch inseam somewhere in there. That's where I like with my shorts, and it's, they all look good. They all look amazing. I would like to be by the beach. I live by the Columbia River. I'll go down to the waterfront all the time. I could wear these things, and I can't pull the trigger yet, but it's gonna happen.
The thing about those places like Temu, and even when you order stuff from Amazon, like I too, man, saw a bunch of like swim sets and stuff like that. I was like, oh man. The top and the bottoms, like, yeah, give me those.
Right.
Got the bottoms, like, perfect. These couldn't fit any better. Put that top on and was like, yo, I couldn't wear it. I took just the shorts and I bought another nice shirt, but
there you go.
Couldn't wear the top. It was just too tiny.
Yeah, well, not to mention, that's the problem with this. It's like top or bottom matching or size matching. Half this stuff comes from China. So me wearing like an XL, 2XL, it's like a 7XL in what their sizes are. And they try to have like that conversion chart attached to each of those like items individually for sale. The pants are different than the shirt. And I've just always never match.
It's one of those things that makes me miss the mall now. Now that I'm older.
Right.
And it's like, I remember just being able to go to the mall. Like, I could spend a couple hours maybe looking for what I'm looking for, try it on, make sure it fits correctly before I leave the store and get home and be pissed off because, oh, yeah, these pants don't fit the way that they're supposed to. It's tough. You can't do that with stuff you're ordering from Temu or Amazon.
No.
Like, you get it. You got to wait 6 weeks or however long to get it back. So I do miss the mall, but
I still go to the mall.
Which,
yeah,
where are you? You're probably,
well,
Washington
I live
Square
right next
guy.
To the Vancouver Mall. So for me, I can almost walk to the mall. And we've got I had to buy a couple suits recently. I had to go one for a wedding and one for something else. And so I would walk into the mall and I went to the different stores that they had to try on, like, what kind of suit do I need? I'm not gonna buy a suit where, like, it's not easy to find my measurements.
No.
I can't just walk in to TJ Maxx and like, here we go.
Too long.
No,
yeah,
a little more
not
personalized.
Happened.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to do a whole thing, and then you have to figure out how to hem it because my back is too wide, and then my hips are too in tight. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, for tall guys like you and I, and you're bigger than I am, but the tall guys, like, we have to. There's never been a suit that I've purchased that I haven't had to go get altered.
Right.
Everything about it.
And they won't do it with rent.
No.
When you rent a suit, they will not do it, so you look like LeBron in 03. It's ridiculous.
Have you guys seen that commercial with Carmelo and...
I went to my cousin's wedding. I looked like that in my suit jacket.
Yo, these suit styles are never going to die. Oh, they're going to die.
That's awesome. But yeah, man, shout out to all my short kings out there that can just... go in, get a 42 regular,
right,
and be out of the,
no,
out of the mall.
I got the opposite problem, y'all. Not every short king out there just has the ability to get a suit. I have like a nice tall torso for you know, a nice like literal swimmer's body from the upper half up to my neck, but then little tiny stubby legs. So it's just, it doesn't look good when you're trying to get a suit fitted. It never matches.
Get them legs tapered, man. That's all I can say. But this is Sports Sunday, man. Feel free to interact with us on the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. You can interact with us 503-864-6326. That is 503-864-6FAN. Sports, we got, you know, a lot of it, you know. And this is the great time of the year because we know in a couple months we're going to be fishing for stories. And so... yeah, you know, we're going to be in dog days. So right now, it's the best time of year. The playoffs for the NBA have just begun. So if you've been waiting for competitive basketball, here we go. So we'll talk a little bit of that. We'll also talk about which players in the league, or at least in the playoffs right now, have the most to prove, and which ones don't have anything to prove as we move forward in this year's playoffs. Man, Blazers wrap up their season. Thank God.
Woof.
We'll talk about that. We'll also get into some NFL stuff. We'll kind of give into some West Coast bias and stick with a lot of the teams around this region and ask, man, which one is going to emerge as the top team from anywhere out here out West. So if you're a Seahawks fan, you're a Niners fan, you're a Raiders fan, a lot of new Charger fans all of a sudden, you'll probably want to stick around and hear what we talk about in the second hour. Things are getting really weird between Belichick and Robert Kraft. We'll definitely talk about that, but we got a lot more. That's coming up here. But first, let's get right into it, fellas. Playoffs started yesterday. We got four more games today. We'll talk about some of those key matchups and kind of what we saw yesterday when we come back right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I'm a big fan of this record, The Roots, and I forget the gentleman's name who sang this song, but this was a cut. This came out like, I don't ask
Roots
for much
slap.
These days. Nobody knows that song? No?
I feel bad, but I honestly thought The Roots were just the Jimmy Fallon band.
Well, they are, but they're so much more than that.
So, and I know. I don't give them enough credit.
So you should do this, Will. And I was actually, you know, we do these culturally specific kind of things at my job, like, you know, mm-hmm. before we start, it's not like a little icebreaker or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you should hear this. So there's a freestyle, if nobody's ever heard it, and it's Black Thought, who is basically the front man of The Roots, the rapper. Mm-hmm. And he got on Funkmaster Flex, it was a show in New York, and he rapped for 10 minutes.
Oh my
wow.
God.
And when I tell you, if you had a friend or an uncle or something like that, or let's say you're from the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. you've never heard rap, never wanted to give it a chance. If somebody were to ask you what hip hop was, this is what I would play for them.
That's a big one.
I think at this point, like, there are colleges that study that freestyle and the things. It was so good, in fact, to where the next day after he did it, he wasn't just the band on Fallon. He was a guest because, yo, you killed it. So you get a chance, Will. You go
I'll
watch
check that one out.
Yeah, go
yeah.
Funkmaster Flex, Black Thought. It's incredible.
That might incredible. Be on the drive home.
Incredible, it. Man. It's incredible. But what also is incredible is we get a chance to watch some more than subpar basketball for the next 2 months or so, which is good.
Some subpar basketball.
I mean, it's like I said, it's a minimal amount of subpar basketball at this point. Now that all the trash teams are out, now you get a chance to see a lot of the really competitive teams in the NBA. And yesterday wasn't a letdown at all.
It didn't start off great.
But it didn't start out. There's a couple teams within this playoffs that were like, man, these are games we don't have to watch, but you probably should watch, because even in those games to where you're like, I can pass on that, there are some special, special, special players in this year's playoffs. Every team has a guy. Every single team in the playoffs has somebody that's like, ooh, he's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you didn't see the Cavaliers Magic game, it's cool because most people didn't see the Cavaliers and Magic game. But
they went to the store during that one.
Yeah, no, that's the time where you seriously, your honey-do list is probably getting accomplished at that point. But the Cavs pulled it out 97-83. That boy Donovan Mitchell, if you haven't seen him play, so nice. Like, in the playoffs, he just goes to work. If you remember what he was able to do in Utah in the playoffs and even during the bubble, like, that boy is special. 30 points, 3 steals in a win last night for that team. Orlando doesn't seem like they're supposed to be good, but they sneaky are. So that has the potential to be a really good matchup.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, their roster's a lot more, I would say, packed with really good young players than people remember. Banchero, you got Jalen Suggs. Franz Wagner is there hitting a lot of shots still. So you look at them and you're like, oh, no, they're kind of good. And they're in the middle of the pack in the East this year. So Orlando is definitely not like the laughable team that they've been in the past. But, yeah, Cleveland's just got a bunch of dudes. And even when their white guy Strus isn't hitting threes, they were still up by, what, I think 20 at one point in yesterday's game. And it just looked like it was too easy for them. But it's a home game for Cleveland, and you all know what they say, that the playoffs don't start in the NBA until a road team wins. So we'll actually see what happens in that series. But to start, Cleveland owned a very good young Orlando team.
I was impressed with Donovan Mitchell coming out and taking care of business right away. So I was watching this game on the bike. So getting ready, you know, getting ready for the gym. I started up on the bike. So I got to watch the whole first quarter. And what I saw was a very young Orlando Magic team that they weren't really supposed to be here, at least not this
yet.
Far
not yet.
Yet
yeah.
Right? Like, they should be a play-in team. They should be a 7 or an 8 seed. And because of some injury luck with Miami and with Philadelphia, all of a sudden you're in the playoffs and you don't even have to do the play-in tournament. You're already right there. And it felt like the moment, at least in the first quarter, it was a little too big for them. And Donovan Mitchell saw this, and so what does he do? He goes out and hits a couple big threes right to start the game, and that's what you need out of your superstar. Go out, notice some weak points of the other team. It felt a little bit like Orlando was really excited to be there, but a little awestruck of the moment. They weren't expecting it to be like this. So what does Donovan Mitchell do? He goes out, hits a couple shots. Now they're playing harder defense on Donovan Mitchell. He's able to find Strus. Strus hits a couple big three-pointers early on. And from then on out, they never relinquish the lead. So the score at the end, obviously, is a little more lopsided, I think, than most people expected. I do think Orlando is going to win a couple games in this series.
They're going to make it a series.
I think it's going to be a good series. But I think it's a good sign for Cleveland where your superstar saw something that he could take advantage of, and not only was he not afraid to take advantage of it, he did in a big moment, and that gets you a big lead. Now Orlando, they've got to be feeling a little bit more pressure. They're probably not going to be as awestruck as they were to start this game, but they're going to feel more pressure to win and win quickly. And when you have a young team like that, sometimes that can cause you to implode. So I really liked what Donovan Mitchell did early on in the game. Let's end it now in the first quarter and make everyone feel the pressure.
This is their window, too, with Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell. He's 27 years old. I mean, this is kind of that window that Blazers fans clamored that we kind of missed with Damian Lillard and didn't get enough of a supporting cast. But the whole point is that this is literally the start.
Conference finals, bro.
And I would think that looking at the rest of the East, like outside of Boston and Milwaukee, that there are games for the taking. There are playoff spots in the next 5 to 6 years, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals available for the taking for a team that has a stud like a 27-year-old prime player in Donovan Mitchell. So, this is just the start for Cleveland. And, Orlando's got the great young team, but I am interested to see if this is like Cleveland kind of getting to new heights or if this is just Donovan Mitchell carrying everybody on his back or not.
Second game of the night was the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker visiting the Minnesota Timberwolves, the three seed, and it was an exciting game for a little bit. We got a chance to see two of the best players in the league, you know, one maybe closer to on his way out, and the other one, his career is just getting started. As Anthony Edwards dropped 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, but KD had a hell of a game himself. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 11 for 17 on the night. At the end of the game, Anthony Edwards is just in awe and was like, man, they lost, but KD hit like 6 straight at a point, and he ended the game 11 for 17. Like, he missed 6 shots all night. Like, that's the type of sniper KD really is. But I really think this Phoenix team is in trouble. I think this could be a gentleman's sweep. I think Phoenix, we spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers and about the Bucks and their kind of discord that they have at this point. You got to throw Phoenix right in there. With this squad, they should be much better than they actually are. You know, Devin Booker wasn't great last night. He was minus 15, which I don't really pay much attention to plus minuses, you know, a whole lot.
Yeah, right.
But when you're the best player, one of the best players on your team, and you only have 18 points in your first playoff game, 5 for 16 from the field, you're not giving your team much of a chance to win. And the same can go for Bradley Beal. You know, he was 6 for 10, but only 15 points. They're going to need to do a lot more than that if they're going to beat this Minnesota team to, outside of Cat's injury, has been together for the entire year. Like, I mean, Phoenix has kind of dealt with the Beal injury in and out. Book has been kind of banged up in and out. So you haven't really got any cohesion for most of this year. And so I think, honestly, this Minnesota team is just playing clearly their best basketball, but not just that, some of the best basketball in the league right now.
Well, quickly to address your point on Kevin Durant just taking over a game. I mean, he's one of maybe, well, you guys would agree, 7 players in the league, like Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, and Dame. you know, that can take over the game at any point individually and make a difference with literally 2 minutes of shots. I will never forget this. Like, just 6 years into LeBron's career, the Blazers were up by 12 with Cleveland in Portland. LeBron himself, when he was on the Cavaliers, hit four straight threes and the Blazers lost. And I think from that moment for me, it was like, oh my God, this guy can change a game in a second. And that's what Kevin Durant can do for the Phoenix Suns. However, you're going up against Ant Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are absolutely one of the best young teams in the NBA right now. Ant, for the next 15 years, looks like he's going to be like that energetic, just young, amazing new lead star that the NBA needs, that Ja Morant was going to be for the Memphis Grizzlies. They've got that now, Ant to lean on here in Minnesota. But it's just really crappy for Phoenix when you have your other star player not showing up. And that is something that Devin Booker, he's been there, he hasn't been there. The Phoenix Suns have been so close with Monty Williams. Now they're under Frank Vogel. And I think that's the question for Phoenix. And if they're going to do well in this series depends on Bradley Beal and Devin Booker actually hitting shots. They just gave Grayson Allen how much money? Like $120-$130 million. I think it was like 170.
I love that we can hate him. He's the perfect Duke villain.
Oh, he is. He really is.
But what did he do after that contract, you guys? 0-for-3 and scored 4 points, all free throws. So that's the problem for Phoenix. And yeah, no one else shows up but KD. Timberwolves are going to take this series pretty easy.
I think this is where casual fans learn the truth about Anthony Edwards, because this whole year, right, he is grown into this player. Aside from probably Victor Wembanyama, he gets me to turn on basketball. I'm a pretty casual winter sport fan. I like hockey, I like basketball. And so what I kind of like to do is when I get home, I look through the games. And what do I find most interesting? Oh, the hockey game's the most interesting? I'll turn that on. Oh, this NBA game is the most interesting? I'll turn that on. So that's kind of how I work my remote at my house. The Minnesota Timberwolves, specifically Anthony Edwards, has kind of turned into that, like, well, I got to turn it on just in case he does something crazy,
right? I mean, it might be something dope tonight.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like this is an opportunity, at least this series, where you're going up against Devin Booker, you're going up against Kevin Durant. So that's going to get casual fans to tune in anyways, right? This is the series where he truly takes that next step and becomes that star. He becomes that player that we all recognize as that tier one of player, right? When you go down the line of all the different superstars that we've had, they've all had that series where it's like, hey, they're pretty good. All of a sudden, obviously it's not overnight, but in that moment it's, oh my goodness, this guy is a star. And this is the perfect series for Anthony Edwards. Now, knowing Anthony Edwards, he's going to have at least one dud of a game. That's just kind of how he is, but he's so energetic. He's so much fun to watch. I loved him talking trash with Kevin Durant. That's wonderful. And that's perfect for the game, because you can see a character who cares. He's a player who is going to get in people's faces. Some people are not going to like that he talked trash. Other people are going to love it. But you know what it's going to lead to? It's going to lead to Discord on Twitter. Uh-huh. It's going to lead to more eyeballs. It's perfect for the game. And this is the series where you're going to truly realize what a star of a player that he is if you're a casual basketball fan who doesn't watch till the playoffs. Because unfortunately for the NBA nowadays, that's what a lot of people do. He can get to the rim when he wants to. He can make highlight acrobatic dunks. But he can also rein in threes from deep, and he plays good hard defense. I think this is the series where everyone kind of realizes, he's next.
Yeah.
He's next.
Absolutely.
This is where we see the ascension.
Really quickly, I appreciate when I say something stupid, the Vancouver Ford text line is there to correct me. Grayson Allen's contract was actually 4 years, 70 million, not over 100 or 170 million. So I apologize, but the point still stands is after you sign on the dotted line, you don't show up. And maybe not over 100 million, but
I'm about to say, no way Grayson Allen got 100 million.
He's still getting almost 20 mil a season, which that's for a mid-level player in the NBA, I would say.
That's par for the course, though, for this NBA
money is different.
And everything. Yeah. So a couple more games on this schedule from yesterday we're going to talk about, and then also get to the slate of today's games. A lot of interesting games happening today, but really two of the more interesting things happened in two of yesterday's games, and really just one of them. But
LeBron lost me money.
Well,
the Lakers.
Well, two interesting
Darvin
things.
Ham. Who should I blame?
Two interesting
Tell
things
me
happened yesterday, and we'll see about who exactly Jordan should blame. That's coming up next on Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan has sports. Or, excuse me, not today. Big Willie style. It's got Sports Center.
The Fan.
Miami, Boston over Dallas, L.A. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Rashad. I'm just getting my bets in.
No, yeah. I mean, hopefully you can recover from what LeBron did to you yesterday, but I don't think it was – I don't know if it was LeBron's fault, but the Lakers are – I know you're a big LeBron dude, Will. I think a lot of people are. And LeBron James last night had another LeBron James-esque night. You know, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Dude is almost 40. Like, it's – we'll get there later. But Anthony Davis came through, pitched in with 32 points, 14 rebounds, and also threw in 5 assists, but 4 blocks. Anthony Davis has been out of his mind as of late, but it just wasn't enough, unfortunately, if you're a Laker fan, because these damn Nuggets, man, they know exactly what they're doing. They've been together for so long. They've played so much basketball together. They're coming off an amazing regular season, again, where Jokic probably should be named the MVP, you know, for his third award.
Well, not according to Kendrick Perkins, but, you know, it's racist if he gets it.
Well, I mean, it's... I don't want to say that, you know, at this point he's the GOAT right now. Like, and it's not pretty. And I think that's the thing about Jokic's game that people don't like, and they'll never, people always say, like, I don't know if he's top 5. I can't tell you how many pundits I've heard say, I'm not sure if Jokic is top, like, what are you talking about? Jokic is top 1. Because there's nothing you can do about it. And it's so easy. He has a refined Tim Duncan-esque game. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing flashy about it. There's nothing, you know, like, almost watchable about it. Like, when you watch Jokic, it's just like, man, this is almost kind of boring. I get a real San Antonio Spurs-esque when Tim Duncan, David Robinson, all of them, it's like, yeah, they just play the right way. And Jokic just doesn't miss shots, it feels like.
Yeah.
They all go in. Like, no matter what he does, squirmy, just kind of throw it up, splash.
Anything.
Like, how does that work like that? Like, I've never seen nothing like Jokic. We, as basketball fans, as sports fans, have never seen anything like Nikola Jokic, and he carried his team last night. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 14 on the night, 15 to 23. He did everything you needed him to do, but it was the rest of his starters that won that game for him.
Oh, my goodness. Jamal Murray hitting huge fadeaway threes at a couple of different points. And let's not forget that the biggest part of Nikola Jokic's game, I think, is just how often he's on the court in today's NBA. With, you know what, I know that they're trying to back off on the rest days and the times that star players sit in the league, but guess what? They're still trying to do that, and teams are still trying to skirt around that in any way possible.
Y'all remember when he was in the playoffs against Portland? That is essentially why they lost to Portland, is because at the end of the game, Jokic couldn't stay on the floor. He was just gassed.
You're talking about that 4 overtime win for Portland.
Yeah, you know, he was just gassed, and it eventually cost them the series because Jokic couldn't keep up. To your point, he's always on the floor now.
Yeah, and he played in 79 games this year, so it's definitely been a huge reason for the Nuggets' success, is just him being there over other star players in the league. But as far as last night's game went to start that series, I mean, credit to the Lakers. They did what they needed to do in the play-in. They always seem to, at those right moments, kind of secure
themselves. Never lost a play-in game,
no.
The Lakers.
Mm-hmm. No, they always secure themselves to get in, you know, right at that perfect point. It's just what LeBron's been able to do most of his career. But unfortunately, I don't know if you want to blame D'Angelo Russell's lack of three-point shots being made last night. It was bad. He went 1 for 9, and there were a lot of those just normal shots that should have gone in that didn't. I would possibly put it on that, or what really just to me looked awful is knowing, as Darvin Ham and the Lakers head coach, like, what your team is, you still wanting to slow the game down as much as you did and slow that pace down and play more of a half-court game, as opposed to Denver's, it was obvious what their offensive attack mindset was we just want to shoot as many times as possible in 48 minutes. And I know LeBron's old, but they're not going to match Jokic and the Nuggets if they're trying to slow the game down and trying to get them to play their game. They're trying to get the Nuggets to bend, but no, it's not going to happen. The Lakers, unfortunately, with the roster that they have, Rui Hachimura's not always hitting shots, Austin Reed's not always hitting shots, and if Russell, your point guard, ain't hitting threes, then you're done. You guys are going to be the one that has to bend right now against the Nuggets, especially on their home floor, and it just didn't happen.
The Nuggets have so many guys. I'm looking at KCP, and I'm looking at Michael Porter Jr. specifically, that when they went on their big third quarter run, they just got hot from deep, right? Like, in the middle of the third quarter with about 6 minutes left, that game is tied, right? All of a sudden, Nikola Jokic gets the ball up at that high post spot right at the top of the free throw line. He starts to attack. That brings an extra defender, and then they start finding those guys on the outside on the wings, and they just don't miss three-pointers. And all of a sudden, that game went from it is tied, it could go either way, to, oh my God, the Lakers are down by 10 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's just what championship teams do. It's why we think that this is a team that could win two or three NBA titles, because they have so many great role players that understand what they need to do, but they also understand where Jokic wants them. Like, we forget a little bit with this team, but if you take away the Jamal Murray injury, for the most part, this is the same team for the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they've built this chemistry.
Without the other star.
Exactly. And they know where they need to be. You throw in Jamal Murray when he's healthy. Jamal Murray might be the best postseason performer right now in the NBA because he just elevates. And he's done it for multiple playoffs, seasons in a row. So when I watch this game, yeah, it sucks that D'Angelo Russell went 1-for-9. That's not going to happen every game. He's going to hit shots. I do think the Lakers are going to win a game or two. But the problem is right now is you have a team that they don't need to say things. They already know where they're going to be. You don't see that errant pass where Michael Porter Jr. is in the corner and Jokic thought he was going to cut up. Or Jamal Murray's driving down and he thinks he's going to get a roll from KCP on a screen or what have you, right? They know where they need to be. They're positioned. They're ready to shoot. And when they get called upon, even their role players make big-time shots.
Yeah, and I don't think really the Lakers have enough shot makers on their team. We're being real, like, you've got Anthony Davis who can get his own shot, but he's not really creating a lot of shots for anybody else. But then Austin Reeves is hit or miss. D'Angelo Russell has really been a huge part of what the Lakers have been able to do this season. When he plays well, D'Lo is amazing. You know, I personally think that the Lakers, and this is a Darvin Ham thing, they have to change the way they play LeBron. Like, unfortunately, LeBron would be the best power forward in the league right now if they put him at power forward. That way it opens things up to where the ball isn't in his hands as much, and so now everybody isn't LeBron watching, which is pretty much what happens with the Lakers or any team that he's on. And now that he's older, he can still do almost everything that he was able to do before, but I think this would really enable somebody like D'Angelo Russell to get the ball in his hands more and not be as timid about making plays when LeBron's on the floor. So I think the Nuggets are in firm control of this series. This is just game one. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I don't think the Lakers are going to get close in any one of those games. At one point, the Lakers were up 12 in yesterday's game in the second, and then here comes Denver, and there was no really looking back at that point.
They were up by three to start the second half because of it was almost a LeBron logo three to end the first, and I went and threw down on the money line for the Lakers at that point. I think it was like -105 for the Lakers versus -115 for Denver, and I'm like, all right, feeling pretty. And then immediately to start the third quarter, it was, oh, missed shot, Denver goes on a 12-point run. It was almost outstanding, the level of difference from the first to the second half. And you don't know what that is. You don't know if that's coaching, if they're just not ready, if they're just tired. But, God, the pace of the game did not work for the Lakers, and they've got to do something. I'm sorry, but especially in Denver, they are the one that has to bend. Jokic and Jamal Murray and Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon with all of the highlight dunks he's got, they ain't bending.
Well, and, I'm a big LeBron guy, but you can see the difference between LeBron and Jokic just in how the role players played, right? Obviously, D'Angelo Russell isn't necessarily a role player for this team. He's really your third guy, right? He is your bat dog to AD's Robin to LeBron's Batman. Well, he's getting a lot of shots that weren't falling. They weren't always the best look. but he felt like he needed to take those shots because they need him to take 20 shots a game. When you look at the Nuggets, yeah, Jokic got his 32, but what did he do early on in the game? What did he do in the second quarter? What did he do at the beginning of the third? He made sure to draw the defense to him to kick the ball out to his role players, so they're catching the ball in tempo. They're still getting their shots up. It's not a, well, coach wants me to shoot 15 times a game this game, so I got to make sure that I get a shot up right now because I don't know the next time I'm going to touch the ball. It's, I know I'm going to, if I'm out there for 4 minutes, I'm going to get an opportunity to shoot two or three times. And if you know that, you're going to make sure that you're continuing to shoot in rhythm and getting your timing right. And Jokic always seems to find guys right where they can get the ball, catch, and shoot. It's a perfect pass every single time. And so when you're called upon and you need a big shot, when you need the big KCP three, when you need the big Michael Porter Jr. three, they seem to hit it because they have their other shots before. They're not coming off cold from the bench or coming off cold subbing in or coming off cold at the start of a quarter or a half. They are ready to go. And that's the biggest difference right now is the Laker players don't always know when they're going to get it. So sometimes they have to chuck up bad shots.
Well, the Lakers are, hopefully, if you're a Laker fan, they're due for a win. But like I said, I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and the Joker is going to be the last one standing. So game two is, what, Tuesday?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday night.
Game two is Monday night. But there was one other game, probably the most exciting game of the day, and we'll wrap up yesterday's slate of games with that, as the New York Knicks – New York stand up. Is that what everybody's been saying lately? You know, New York stand up. The Knicks take game one for the 76ers, but that wasn't the main storyline of that game. We'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on the Fan.
With Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
So, you know, Big Willie Ordner just kind of, you know, showed his age. He was like, I didn't know at first that this wasn't Return of the Quack. It wasn't. Although that was a cut. Shout out to Sup With Your Girl.
Sup With Your Girl, dude. Yeah. That was middle school, the I Smell Roses, and then that was sixth grade, and then seventh grade.
That was my
grade.
Favorite one. I was a big I Smell Roses fan. Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
It was so good. And then Return of the Quack was greatness, and then like you're a dumb middle schooler like listening to it. Like, I can't believe they made this great beat. And then I forget if it was one of my parents or like a cousin that was like, hey, dummy, there's a real song. Come listen to it.
Return of the Mac.
Dude, I've had it on every phone I've had since like iPhone 5.
Mark Morris. Remember the first time I heard that on the radio, I was like, oh, this song is amazing.
So, and then you find out the actual meaning of the song, and you're like, you think you're God's gift to women on earth?
Yes. All right. What you mean? Yeah,
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, here I come, ladies.
Great music video, too. Yeah. Great music video. He gives off Mac energy.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
It's a good music video.
Yeah.
Where the term Mackin comes from, I would assume.
Absolutely, man. So last night, man, Joel Embiid gave off some great Mackin energy, too. You know, showed his toughness, showed his resolve, and was able to kind of muster through what was maybe a tough shooting night for Embiid, 8-for-22 from the floor, but ended the game with 29 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. More than that, had his first dunk since he returned from injury, and that's where things kind of went left. So at the end of the second quarter, Joel Embiid, nice move, threw the ball off the backboard to himself, dunked it, came down, dunked on, I forget who it was from the Knicks. So I think it was Ananobi. Dunked on Ananobi and then went down with an injury. And you can tell in his face as soon as he hit the ground, it's like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. But he did return, and he played really, really well throughout the game. But that damn Jalen Brunson, you know, at the end of the game was amazing. Josh Hart hit some huge shots down the stretch. This Knicks team is not the Knicks teams of old. They know how to play basketball. They're led by Tibbs, so they know how to play defense. They're going to be gritty. They're going to be hard-nosed. I think without Joel Embiid at 100% in this series, I think the Knicks smell blood in the water.
I don't think there's any other outcome at this point. If Joel Embiid is 50 to 70% and Tyrese Maxey's not hitting threes, because he's pretty much your only big scorer, what are you going to leave Kyle Lowry had to shoot a bunch of threes last night. I mean, he actually had a good game and scored almost 20, but that's not a consistent, I guess, I usually hate to use the word consistent when it comes to professional athletes. That's what they're paid to do, is be good and be consistent. And when you're not consistent, you're just being bad. So live up and actually, you know, do what your contract says you're supposed to do. But Kyle Lowry doesn't play like this every game. And he was on the court for 40 minutes. So we're already talking about a depleted Sixers team. On the other side of things, and Nick Batum actually hitting a bunch of threes was the reason they're even in this situation in the first place from their play-in game. And on the other side of things, the Knicks, Jalen Brunson's good, Josh Hart, they both led the way with 22 points. The performance by Josh Hart, especially those last couple of threes in the final 90 seconds or so, it makes me sad as a Blazers fan knowing that they had him and traded him while Dame was on the roster, essentially to kind of start that, like, quote-unquote rebuild and getting rid of Dame, and then the whole turnover with Scoot Henderson. So it just makes me sad seeing that there are pieces that Portland has had as good as Josh Hart, because Josh Hart has ice in his veins. In New York, are you kidding me? Madison Square Garden ain't the easiest place to show up. And, man, Portland had him. I try not to lean on that too much, but it was a great performance by New York and Jalen and Josh Hart. So props to those guys. Hate seeing him away having the success, but good for him. And it looks like all Knicks in this series if Joel Embiid's not healthy.
I think that it could be close. I think Tyrese Maxey, I just talked about it with Ant Edwards, about how Ant Edwards is about to take that ascension into that next tier up of superstar. Tyrese Maxey is not going to do that, but I do believe that he's going to take that next step up into he's one of the better twos in the NBA. I really like the way that he plays, and I really think that him and Joel feed off each other. Obviously, Joel Embiid is nowhere near 100%. If Joel Embiid is 100%, I would like the 76ers.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sixers. It's very clear that probably once a game he is going to have a bad fall. To dunk like that and kind of have just a normal land and all of a sudden you're grabbing your knee, his meniscus is not right and he's sore and he's worked his way back because he is a warrior and he wants to have postseason success. I do believe that this is going to be a six-game series because I think that there are going to be times where if Joel Embiid can have a 10 to 12 minute stretch in a game, and they don't have to be consecutive minutes, it can be 5 at the end of the second quarter and 5 at the end of the fourth, where he just takes over a game. There's no one on that Knicks team that can truly stop him. They play great defense, but Joel Embiid is such a freak that there's no one that can truly, truly stop him. He's going to get his points. And once he starts getting his points, that's going to open up opportunities for Maxey, who I do believe plays really well off of what Joel can do. He can shoot from outside, but he's also fast enough to where he can get into the paint and make some big buckets. I think that you are going to have a game or two where you have a Tyrese Maxey game, where you look up and all of a sudden the guy has hit 3 or 4 three-pointers, he's got 30 points, and Philly is going to win some games. I think at the end, it's going to be Joel Embiid is not healthy. He is not anywhere near where his MVP form is, and that's just the way it breaks sometimes. So the Knicks will overwhelm them just with how good they are defensively and how gritty they are. And you also have a bunch of guys who at any moment can go get 20. Like, that is the beauty of this Knicks team. Yes, you have your clear number one, but you don't have a clear number two, but you almost have 3 or 4 dudes who
that could be the number two on what any given night.
Right. Like Josh Hart had 22 points in this game. Would it shock you if in the next game, game two, DiVincenzo goes off from the 3-point line, hits 4 3-pointers? He's good to do it. He could do it at any moment.
You saw McBride off the bench with 21 points, just shooting that thing the entire time, 5 for 7 from three.
Right. So I feel like they have too many players that eventually they're going to overwhelm Philadelphia. But I do think this will be a good series, and I think Philly's going to keep it close. And most games, I think, are going to end very similar to this one, where it's 2 minutes left in the game, it's within 5 points, and it could go either way. It's going to be a fun watch. And yeah, I hope for Joel Embiid's sake, he can at least have a game or two like he did in the play-in game, where he can start to shed some of this postseason Embiid shows up and he seems to wilt.
I do need to point out that it looked, before Joel Embiid went down at the end of that game, I was kind of hoping that he would move a little bit faster. They were down by, I think, 4 or 6 at that point, 2 minutes to go-ish. And you would think that instead of holding the ball for 10 seconds in the shot clock, that it is imperative that you get moving. I don't know if that's just the decision that he's making or if he is injured, but if it's because of injury and that is what's holding the Sixers back and he's just not able to go full speed in those moments, like, oh, Sixers got a big issue.
Yeah, the Sixers might have an issue, but let's see if the Knicks cannot do what the Knicks typically have done in the past, and that's lose this series in the first round. So we'll see, you know, what happens there. So that's the slate of yesterday's games. One game is about to be underway, so we got 4 on the slate today. Let's go ahead and go over some of those. Hopefully get us some Blazers and even some NFL, you know, before we get out of here. But stick around. Second hour, Sports Sunday next.
Dude, 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 dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
10:07, hour 2. Here we go, fellas.
Feel my nipples, baby.
Oh, whoa. Rather not. That's wild. the Boston Celtics are getting ready to host the Miami Heat, the 8 seed, after a couple of, well, one not so good play-in game, but then one really, really good play-in game. And here the Heat are. Tyler Hero is leading this Heat team into Boston. Is it TD Garden? Yeah.
Yes.
Jason Tatum,
beautiful
arguably,
arena, by the way.
I mean, nice, beautiful arena.
No, I've been in there a couple of times. Moda needs significant updates.
Moda's the oldest arena.
It's one of the 4 or 5 oldest arenas now in the league.
Is it really?
Yes, Will.
It doesn't feel like it's that old. It's what, 90s?
Will, 94,
how many? I don't want to detract too much from this, but Will, how many NBA arenas have you seen a game in?
5, 4. Somewhere in there.
And was the Moda even comparable to any of them?
Well, the one I saw was in MSG, so nothing compares to Madison Square Garden. It's not really fair. I don't think of Moda as being that old. You know, like, because, I mean, it was the Rose Garden. The Moda is basically as old as I am.
Yeah.
I'm not old.
Yep.
Yeah, you're born in what?
97. End of 97.
Moda Center is older.
94.
Yeah.
94, 95.
Yeah. So... I think it's one of those things, like, it's time to, even Staples Center has had a facelift and, you know, all type of stuff since they moved from the Great Western Forum. But TD Garden is definitely not the old Boston. What was the name of Boston?
It was just the Boston Garden.
Boston Garden. You go. So, but Jason Tatum and the Leprechauns, man, are trying to really prove that they are the best team in the East. They are the consensus favorite to make it to the NBA. At least to the conference finals. Will they make it to the finals? Who knows? But I think it should be pretty easy work with this Miami team, sans Jimmy Butler.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's out the whole series. I assume he is.
Yeah, it's his MCL, correct?
Oh, yeah. Then
yeah,
for sure out the entire series.
It's an MCL strain. He's not playing this series. If they go down 3-0 or 3-1. What's the point of bringing him back?
Well, and they don't have Terry Rozier either for game one. I think he was dealing with like some kind of, I can't remember his injury, but they don't have two of their top scorers.
Yeah, that's going to be
Miami.
That's going to be a problem for the Heat. You know, I'm not sure if they're going to be
his neck. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
His back, too?
His
neck and his back.
I can't say the other parts, can I?
You guys are funny.
Damn it. All right, well...
Dang it, okay.
So
Will just pulled one over on me.
So real quick, because, you know, I at least want to really talk about at least, you know, two of these games, but just real quick, I think we can all agree that the Celtics-Heat series is probably the one that's maybe the least intriguing, just considering the number of injuries for this Heat squad.
Most
Is that
likely.
Fair?
Yeah.
Do either of you expect this to be a tough series?
No, I don't really need to add much to that. No, I don't think without their key scorers, Boston's going to have much trouble with Miami. Hey, anything could happen. Kevin Love could go off for 6 threes a game, and Miami could take him 7 games, but this will probably be a 5-game series.
Knowing the Heat, I feel like they'll win one game. Like, they'll win a game at home. Just because, like, the culture, they like to muck it up. I mean, Spoelstra is still, I would say he's the best coach in the NBA right now.
They got all the guys that Portland fans wanted for Dame. I mean, you know, Hawkes Jr., like, Highsmith.
They're going to have a game where they just muck it up and make stuff difficult. They're not going to let themselves get swept, I think. But at this point, I think you're going to look back at the box scores, and they're going to win game 3-1. And every other game is going to be a double-digit blowout where you didn't really have any fear. I mean, Boston is just so deep. I mean, at any point, Brown, White, Tatum, Porzingis, any of those guys could go off.
They still got Horford.
At any moment. Well, he might collapse and die. He's very old.
He is very old.
He's older than the Moda Center.
For sure. Porzingis is definitely going to need to be Boston's second-best player, not just in the series, but throughout the playoffs. They really, really have a chance in going deep. The second matchup today starts at 12:30 on ABC, and that's the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic, which a lot of people feel should be the MVP as well, going against Paul George and the Clippers. Kawhi is a game-time decision. I assume Kawhi will play in the playoffs at some point. I think this Clippers team is really underrated in this playoffs, and I think the best thing is nobody's really talking about them.
Nope. No,
everybody's kind of, you know, overlooked.
Stepchild of LA.
Yeah, everybody's kind of overlooked the Clippers and overlooked, you know, because they were supposed to be good 2-3 years ago. Now I think James Harden has done what people have wanted him to do and taken a step back, and people are still pissed that James Harden isn't, you know, putting up the 30 that we were used to seeing him put up. But Paul George is still Paul George. If Kawhi is healthy and available, I don't see this Clippers team losing to the Mavericks. There's something really disconjointed about this Mavericks squad. I feel like they don't run plays. It's just Luka has the ball, everybody just move. And if you're open, I'll pass it to you. But if not, I'm taking this on my own. And then Kyrie has a very similar outlook on things.
I can't believe I'm about to do this, but I'm about to spend like 30 to 60 seconds talking about why James Harden is a decent NBA player and why we should be rooting for him.
I'm
on
a Harden
the Clippers
guy,
roster.
So
yeah,
I mean, I'm not the one you need to sell. Like,
I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying that I'm trying to sell to you, but I guess maybe I'm the one that needs to sell myself or half of like the Twitter or X universe that just always seems to bitch and give really funny memes in response to anything James Harden does, as Jaime Hawkins Jr. absolutely trash misses a dunk to try and get Miami's first basket.
I'm glad he went up with it. He went up on three people.
That yeah, Boston leads 7-0, now 9-0, 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. But James Harden, what people do not talk about regarding his game, I feel like, or it's just never mentioned how much he passes the ball. The dude has been an assist machine his entire career. Can he play defense? No. But he works so well with the Clippers and their bevy of scorers. I don't need to lean on Russ Westbrook to do anything. I don't need him healthy if I'm a Clippers fan. But James Harden, oh my goodness, if he can, he's not scoring as much as he used to because he's older. Guys, he ain't LeBron James. Hasn't he spent a ton more time in the clubs than LeBron James has? Like, I know there's rumors about LeBron out there, alleged, you know, different things in his past, but we know where James Harden's been late at night, and I think we're starting to see the effects of that. So if you want him to score 30 a game, that's not going to happen, but he fits in perfectly with what the Clippers can do. And even without Kawhi or him being a game-time decision, it's a 2.5-point line. The Clippers can make this a 7-game series, but James Harden's got to play perfectly.
I feel like the Mavs are going to win this series, but you get to a point where they are too heliocentric around Luka. When have we seen a player that is so ball dominant? I mean, we just talked about James Harden. James Harden in the Rockets. It's the same exact thing.
And Luka is pretty much James Harden on the Rockets.
Right. Yeah. Where eventually you are going to run into a team, whether it's in the next round against Minnesota or Phoenix, or if it's all the way in the Western Conference Finals when you eventually run into Denver. You're going to run into a team that is a team, and one player cannot bring you that far. I think the best example of a player getting that far, that deep, all by himself is probably going to be 2001 76ers with AI.
LeBron with the Cleveland.
Right, where the old Cleveland and the first team that he brought. It's one player who's dominating the ball, and he can single-handedly, because he's so good and he has so much skill and talent, he's able to get the team into the playoffs and even get them into a deep run. But you don't win titles that way. And I wonder if maybe this will finally be the playoffs where I don't necessarily know if it's Luka realizes this or if this is what the Dallas game plan is, and finally Luka can go to management and say, dude, I am the number two MVP candidate. Like, I'm going to finish second in MVP voting, and the only reason I'm going to lose is because you have a top 10 all-time big man in the league at the same time as me. Can you put a team around me where I don't have to have the ball in my hands 75% of offensive possessions?
I think Luka kind of enjoys – I know we're up against it, but I think Luka kind of enjoys having the ball in his hands like that, you know, because he's – nobody's better because of Luka Doncic on the floor. Like, as great as he is, like, nobody plays better because he's there. You know, Kyrie was averaging much more, you know, a game before he came to Dallas, just because Luka doesn't really make anyone's game that much better. And a lot of this is on Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has to figure out a way to run plays and get people more open, or I don't want to say more open, but even just get them easier looks. But like I said, we're up against it. We got two other games to go up against or to speak about, but then we also have hopefully some Blazers.
Ooh, Blazers. Maybe some time for some Jonte Porter.
Maybe some time for Jonte Porter because the NBA no longer has time for him. But coming up next, we got two other games: Pacers, Bucks, Pelicans, Thunder. Get the homies' thoughts next. Sports Sunday, The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Big Will Ordner with the cuts in here early in the morning. I'll take it. I've got a long Sunday ahead of me, bro. Like,
you didn't realize, dude. It's not all country and rock music over here for this white guy.
No, I love it, man. I love it.
Southwest Washington, Ridgefield. I don't want to call Hawkinson. You a MAGA.
Don't call me a sputter.
Speaking of Ridgefield, 21 Savage is going to be there next week.
Is it next week?
I think it is.
They've got a couple good shows at it. It's a good amphitheater.
I went and saw Busta Rhymes and 50 Cent there. Just a few months ago.
I've only been to like two or three concerts where I actually went and wasn't working, but I went to the Future Mask Off tour. It was Future, Young Thug, ASAP Ferg, and Zoe Dallas.
Oh, I don't know Zoe.
Yeah, I don't
know. No one does. Only Zoe's mom knows Zoe.
Okay, yeah.
Give me some Sexy Red. Replace Zoe with Sexy Red. Let's go.
Well, this is back in 17. I don't know what Miss Red was doing back then.
I think she was too young.
She was doing everything back there. Being fast, what we say. Yeah.
Ski!
Oh, my
God,
gosh.
I love that song.
That is a good song.
Oh, that slaps. They played that at Autzen every week for Ducks games, and I was just like, thank you.
Yeah, that is a slap, though. Today, hopefully we got two games that slap, but probably not. One of which is at 4 o'clock on TNT. We got the Bucks hosting the Pacers. I think the Bucks are the most interesting team in the NBA at this point. They've had such a crazy – it's all the stuff's happened within a year. You get Damian Lillard. You have a pretty good coach in Adrian Griffin. What has you in the tied for the, at this point, for the best record in the league. You fire him. You hire Glenn. Glenn has been terrible, you know, as a head coach, which I think most of us who are basketball fans kind of figured he would be. They've been middle of the road for most of the season. Then Giannis gets hurt about a week and a half ago, somewhere around there. And now the Bucks are going in to play the second place in the play-in tournament, Pacers.
And are only a 1.5-point underdog to the Pacers at home. That's kind of sad.
I think the Bucks are cooked, low-key. I mean, if you ask me as a team who's been playing with more cohesion for most of the year, it's still the Pacers. Like, they're only two games behind this Bucks team who has had a lot of ups and downs. If they had kept Adrian Griffin, they potentially probably would still be the best team in the league. But this is where trying to appease your superstar got in the way of your team actually kind of achieving something, maybe something great, because it's because of Giannis. It's because, you know, basically of him that Griffin is no longer the head coach. And now they settled in on Doc Rivers. Who is Doc Rivers? This is Doc Rivers' kryptonite, the playoffs. This is where we start finding out how ill-prepared he is for just playoff wins. He's been lucky enough one time to have three generational talents on his team, and really four if you count how good Rajon Rondo was. Like, if we're being honest, as a point guard, Rondo is one of the best 10 point guards over the last 20 years, maybe, if we really start going through that list. But this Pacers team, Tyrese Halliburton is a man.
They're loaded, man.
They absolutely are.
They're low-key loaded.
They play, I hate the term, the right way, but yeah, like, the Pacers play as a team. They've got an incredibly deep roster.
I always seem to forget that they got post Toronto Raptors Pascal Siakam until I tune in. And it's like, oh, he's scoring 24 a game for the Pacers.
Yeah, we forget that, like you said, Pascal Siakam, their leading scorer on this team. But also you throw in a player like Miles Turner, who is a great defender, especially a great shot blocker, meeting you at the rim. Benedict Mathurin, you know, who's one of those guys that can get you anywhere from 14 to 20, depending on, you know, what he's asked to do for that night. Even Bruce Brown, who's just a sneaky good player who has some championship experience coming from that Denver team.
They fixed a broken Obi Toppin, too, from New York, turned him into a role player.
I thought he was out of the league.
There ain't no stopping.
Yeah, there ain't no stopping the Toppin, and he's out there playing some great basketball for this team. I think the Pacers found themselves in a great position to happen to find a Bucks team that's just not as healthy as they should be going into the playoffs. And wouldn't you know it, it feels like if you're Damian Lillard, this is Portland all over again. Because you're leading in a team, if you're the Bucks, who, again, outside of Giannis, isn't a bad team, but then it's Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Malik Beasley, who, you know, has played some good basketball. None of those guys, with the exception of Chris Middleton, scares, you know, the opposition.
When I look at the Bucks, I feel like when you take Giannis out of the equation, they're not athletic. Like, no one on their team really worries you at any point of, can they get to the rim? Like,
you're not scared of Cameron Payne?
No, I'm not. He's not bringing the pain, and he's not a house of pain. When I look at this Bucks team, it almost is so revolved around Giannis's athleticism. Like, yes, Dame can still get a bucket when he wants to, but at the same point, he's not prime Damian Lillard. I feel like it's hard for Blazer fans to admit that, and probably Buck fans too, but he is 90% of what he once was. That's still a great player, but that's a player that, in this situation, he should be the Robin. He should be the two. When you don't have Giannis, and I don't feel like the Bucks should feel like they need to get Giannis back faster, this is a scary injury. That calf strain... We saw it with Kevin KD. Durant.
Yeah.
It's a calf strain. All of a sudden, he tries to come back too soon. That Achilles tears. Yep. That's going to kill a lot of what Giannis's best attributes are. So this team does feel a little bit like they're out to sea without that life raft that is Giannis. So when you have a younger team like this Indiana Pacers squad, they don't know what it's like to be in the postseason. They don't know that they should be scared of this Bucks team. It would not shock me at all if this turned into a six-game series where you see Indiana come out on top and it's just dumb injury luck and a team that is built around having a lot of shooters around a really athletic, generational-type talent. And when that generational-type talent isn't there, who can create their own shot aside from Dame?
You know, I want to... Maybe it's the bias, but I want to avoid putting all the onus on this on Damian Lillard like some of the national pundits out there are right now, because this has not been a Damian Lillard problem in Milwaukee. This was supposed to be like add Damian Lillard, click and play. And it's not click and play. So people are wondering, well, why isn't Damian Lillard making it work? Well, he's not the problem, all right? Jrue Holiday was there for a number of years, and for everyone else to try and adapt to Dame and for Dame to have to switch from Portland and try to do a pick and roll instead of with Yusuf Nurkic, two different guys in Giannis and Brooke that he's never played with before, along with changing coaches twice. Like there, Damian having to deal with the ouster of Terry Stotts in his first week of being there. There's really so much other than the Damian Lillard issue or lack thereof production that people are saying of. Like, that's the problem. I just can't put this on Dame, but maybe
well,
I'm biased.
I don't know if we can put everything on Dame, but I think they had to lose a lot to get Dame. So you can put some of it on him. Jrue Holiday was because of Dame. The loss of Jrue Holiday was because Damian Lillard wanted to be traded. And so you lost your defensive presence that you had on the perimeter. You're absolutely right, Will. Like, this is not an athletic team. Not anymore, at least. You know, maybe a few years ago when they first won a championship, but without Giannis, who can just barrel his way into the lane and dunk on whomever he wants to, whenever he wants to, you don't have anybody else that's going to be able to get your shot. And let's just be real, and Portland fans are going to hate hearing this. Dame has had two great playoff series ever.
The OKC one, for sure.
The OKC one, and then the Houston one, when he hit that shot against Houston, you know, to go to the second round. Outside of that second round against Denver, CJ was the star of the show.
Right. Yes. And Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter was who bought the Blazers. You know, Dame kind of expelled all his energy in that first round against Westbrook and understood. So as far as that experience, Dame, like, he knows, but Dame doesn't really know what it takes to get all the way to the conference finals. And now without Giannis, that's the ask. You need to get us to the second round and beyond without Giannis. And now the question, now it goes back on his head. Well, can you do this? Because you look at this roster, I think some of these players are a little better than Portland's players, if Portland's players aren't healthy, especially now. But with a healthy Portland squad and a healthy this squad without Giannis, things look pretty similar for you at this point. So now Dame is going to be asked to do what he tried to escape Portland for, which is win without another superstar.
They should have kept Terry Stotts, man. I really feel like that would have stopped the tumultuous turnover as it's happened. And Pelicans Thunder, we're kind of running out of time on that one, but yeah. I think Thunder are going to win in six.
Thunder's going to win that game.
They're just too good. I like Ingram. I like Zion. But
without Zion? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a pretty easy one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the rest of that incredibly talented young Thunder squad should completely roll over this Pelicans team, especially without Zion. So that's the playoffs. Things are happening right now. Boston's up 23-14 on Miami. So stay with us before you tune into them, and then we can you can enjoy the rest of the game.
Heck yeah.
Coming up next, man, playoffs are here. Who has something to prove? And who don't have something to prove. We'll talk about that next. But first, Will has sports.
Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 so The Fan. So good.
I got you. I feel good, man. Yeah, it's playoff time. Unless you're a Blazer fan. We were going to talk about, you know, who needs to prove it, but we talked enough playoffs for the day. It's been about an hour and a half. Let's keep it more local and immediate. And the Blazers need immediate help.
Hey, you're 21-61 Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah, 23-24 season. Let's
tie
go.
For the third worst record in the NBA, along with the Charlotte Hornets.
They make me want to say so many swear words on the air.
Yeah,
but
we
I
can't
won't.
Do that.
No,
FCC,
no.
You know.
Dang it.
So we're going to keep it clean for the day. But it's tough to we've talked about this before. And now that the season is over, you know, clearly you're looking forward to next season. We've been here before. Very good chance Portland, not a good chance, but Portland could potentially get the number one pick in the draft. Probably not, just knowing the way things go for the Blazers. But they need a lot of help in a lot of different areas. Number one, I don't think they can draft another 6'4", 6'3" guard. Let's not go crazy with getting people that are the same size across the board. I mean, and
Joe
honestly,
and Neil seemed to love them though.
Yeah, they love those guys. There's an architect, you know, the archetype that they have that they want to make sure that they have this speedy guard that can shoot and get to the rack. Cool. I think it's time they need that they do something else. I'm one of those people that feel like the Blazers have a lot of assets.
Yeah.
Let's use those to get something that can be helpful. And I think that's the big question is, like, what helps Portland become a better team right now? For me, I think, you know, you could get trade some of those assets and get something more.
Yeah.
However, I think you've got a lot to work with. The question for me is, can everybody stay healthy?
I mean, that's a good place to start. They never seemed to, in the last 3-4 seasons, have all of their guys. And I think they led the league in games missed this year. The number was stupid with how many games that their players actually missed. Shaedon Sharpe, we hoped to get a full season from him to see some development. We ended up getting basically half that, if that. And Scoot, maybe in the last 15 to 20 games, started to show something. I mean, so, yeah, you got to wonder if these young kids can stay healthy. That's kind of the first thing. But then also actually watching the development happen. Scoot's still 20 years old. I get it. He's got time. The last part of the season is obviously something that the team is building on. I've made the point several times on this station. I'm not sold. I throw out the comparison to Antonio Daniels all the time. Physically, they look like the exact same player. And Scoot, his shooting did improve, but it needs to improve much more for him to be a number one option in this league. It makes me wonder what Portland's doing going forward with. They've got at least two picks in this year's first round. They've got the they've got the 3-4 pick, and then Portland's got the 13th, 14th pick, depending on how the lottery shakes out via Golden State. And you talk about the assets that they have. They've got Jeremy Grant as well under contract for 4 more seasons. They've got Malcolm Brogdon. They've got a couple of veterans that other teams definitely want. And you wonder, does it bode better for the Blazers to keep those? I would say no. You ask what the best plan is for Portland going forward. I would say what helps them the most is tanking next year. Everybody's trying to grab Cooper Flagg, and this seems to be upcoming in this year's draft, one of the weakest pools of talent that we've seen in a while. And of course, it happens to be Portland getting two picks in this draft. So what do you do? I agree with you, Rashad. You try to take these assets that you have this year. You try to go grab a couple of younger players, but once again, we've got to see other teams in the league willing to do that. That was kind of the problem with a Damian Lillard leaving town last year because, well, the number three pick, I don't know how many calls Joe Cronin made, but it didn't seem like the league was too keen on getting the number three pick for a veteran player to help Damian Lillard. So at this point, you got to go full rebuild. You can't go half foot in or 1 foot in, 1 foot out, halfway in, halfway out. I like the growth of DeAndre Ayton. I still don't understand how he helps this current Blazers team. I feel like he's one of those assets that should probably be moved for some younger assets coming in, and you let Scoot play 45 minutes a game next year, and you let Shaedon Sharpe play 40 minutes a game next year, and you see what that you've got plus the guys that you get in the draft or that you flip them, you know, and grab a player or two, hopefully that you like and compare with them that's not 6'2".
The nice thing is, in this draft, the player, it's not a deep draft, but a lot of those higher picks, they are big men. The Sar kid out of France, he's 6'11". I mean, Stephon Castle probably doesn't fit what you want, but again, 6'6", so that's nice. You've got the Nikola Topic, the kid out of Serbia, he's 6'6". Connects 6'6". You've got the G League Ignite, the kid out of Lithuania. He's 6'11". Klingon's going to be in there. He's a 7-footer. So there are some big players in this draft that you can go out and get, and that does feel like something that this team needs. Stop going and getting the undersized guard. Go get a big wing. Let's get some length. I actually like DeAndre Ayton. I think with his age, because Ayton and I believe, are the same age. I believe he's 25, 26. So I do think that there are 25. some time frames that do match up. But I think the key here is just acquire talent. It almost feels a little bit like the old school Seattle Seahawks teams, where I want a bunch of draft picks and I just want to get as many people in as I can. And then we'll see if you can fit our mold. It isn't necessarily about, well, this is the number one guy in this class, so that's what we should get. It's, let's get the best player available that fits a need that we have. We need bigger guys here in Portland. We need longer guys. We need that length. Let's go get those types of players, bring them in, and just let them play and see what happens.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's another way to go. The good thing for Portland is you have a lot of options as far as what you want to do. You've got the capital to make sure you can make it happen. And there are probably some teams, especially some of those teams that maybe were just outside the play-in or were in the play-in, or even you're a 6, 7, 8 seed and you're just looking for more, looking for an opportunity to grow. Man, there might be some teams that are willing to part with, you know, a good piece that Portland can use. As long as it's not a guard, I'm looking at a guy like Cade Cunningham, 6'6 guard. And mind you, I don't know if Detroit's going to move off of him. However, if you can offer 2 first-round picks.
He's awesome. Cade's really good.
Cade is really good, but we can all agree that, like Portland, Detroit is going nowhere right now. And so maybe a kind of swiping a star or budding star from one of these teams that's still trying to figure out how they can get to the next level, and maybe a couple draft picks and maybe some promises of some draft picks in the future could be something that they're interested in. But the Blazers have a lot of work to do. This should be an interesting offseason. Still waiting to see where they land in the draft, because I think that's going to kind of better help us understand exactly what they may do.
And right, because so, if you land like 2 or 3, you really, you know, 1, 2, or 3, you're going to get
your
probably
going to stay there. Yeah, you're
right.
Going to stay there.
If you land like 7 or 8, that might be a position to move off it. Or if you're like, hey, everyone who landed in front of us is, they need guards. Well, maybe we can have someone that falls to us. Maybe the Colorado kid falls to us. It's not like you have to take a guy who's ready right now either.
No.
You can take the raw development project because you have so much time. Like, you shouldn't be a playoff team for another 3 years.
I hope they don't, because that's how you end up getting stuck with Zach Collins.
When you get stuck with Zach Collins because...
But he's hooping now. So,
but they need, he's a pillar of your franchise.
They need to go full tank next year. They need to lean into it. They can't do this half foot in, half foot out thing. They can't have a Jeremy Grant type on the roster. There's no need for veteran leadership. This is a development only team. Get players only on the roster that you need to develop.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a way to go. Or they can just totally, you know, totally just kind of wipe everything off the board and start again.
Chauncey and Joe aren't even on the same page.
So we'll see. Hopefully Chauncey isn't here at all. But we'll see, you know, what it is. Blazer fans, strap in. It's going to be a long year, more than likely. So coming up next, we'll go ahead and tie a bow on it. Does that sound cool?
It's been really fun, man.
Oh, man, yeah. I've had a good time, man. Happy Sunday to everybody. We're coming back right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Wrapping things up here on The Fan. Man, I want to go to a good concert, man. Just hearing that, you know, that Pharrell and was that Danger Mouse?
Daft Punk.
Daft Punk, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Get Lucky, you know. I'd be cool to go to a good concert. It's been a little bit. Last one I went to was Wu-Tang and Nas. Which was...
That's a pretty good... Was that back in December?
That was October? In October.
I was going to say, my old roommate went to that. He was nice. Very excited.
Oh, my gosh. It was the dopest concert I've ever been to. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of really, really cool people, you know, live. I saw Stevie Wonder in concert, bro.
What?
Yeah. So in Vegas, they used to do this thing called... I'm going to channel my inner Luke Anderson. So when I lived in Vegas...
back in the day when I was in... I lived in Las Vegas once.
Yeah, there was this concert that Tiger Woods used to host called the Tiger Jam. And this year's... that year's headliner was Stevie Wonder, and Counting Crows was like the opening act.
Oh, my God.
I like Counting Crows. They were pretty okay.
That's the Mr. Jones and Me, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Jones and Me.
Oh, so yeah. Jordan definitely
knows. I know
exactly
what you're talking about. I'm one stereo. I don't know the words, but I know what it sounds like.
Man, it was awesome. Prince came out. That was the coolest part. Like, so
they're,
Stevie's playing Superstition, and all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, Prince. And he comes out. But the cool part was, man, Stevie was doing dance moves and stuff like that. Dude. He had a whole dance routine. Stevie's not blind.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you're buying the rumors that he's not blind
at
all?
I've heard enough stories from enough people to where they've been like, man, Stevie can, he drives a car. Like, I mean.
No, the conspiracy theories are there. Like, he's standing in front of you and he's like, hey, what's up, Shaq? Like, I can't remember who said it, but there was a famous athlete out there.
It was
like,
Shaq.
Yeah, it was. It was Shaq. Yeah. He's like, I was standing right there, and he's like, oh, what's going on, Big Dog or Big Shaq? And Shaq's like, What?
I don't know. The Mariah Carey video that he had the other, like, 2 months ago, that's pretty rough. He seems blind in that one.
Oh,
have you not seen it?
I don't think I have.
Maybe he just didn't want to say hi to Mariah Carey.
No, it's him and, like, he introduces Mariah Carey to win some award. He goes to get the microphone and, like, try and give it to her. But she has walked past and around him to the other microphone.
See, Mariah's playing games.
And Mariah, like, that's a total D-bag move.
He takes his microphone and is like, I'm going to be a perfect gentleman and give this to Mariah Carey. And Mariah Carey just, like, kind of, I don't know that she saw it or, like, ignored it, but she just, like, walked around. And so then there's Stevie Wonder trying to give Mariah Carey this microphone, and she is nowhere to be found. It's a tough video.
You just left him on, left him on stage.
I don't want to say, like, it's all on Mariah Carey. Like, maybe she was just, like, overcome with the moment. Like, I've got it. They
no,
told
Mariah
me to
knew
this
what
microphone.
She was doing. Listen, when you're Mariah Carey, you know what you're doing at that point. But, yeah, Stevie was an amazing concert. So I'm curious, man, starting with you, Jordan, do you have a favorite concert you've been to or the best concert you've been to?
I mean, the most recent one was the Fall Out Boy concert at Moda, I think at the end of February.
Dance.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was really good. Jimmy Eat World, the opener, was not as good. I know Joe's talked about it several times on this show and the Hot Corner. Michael Bublé is one of my favorite artists of all time. He puts on an amazing show. Yeah, God, what a voice that dude has. So you can all tell I'm getting turned on just talking about him. I've probably seen him 4 times. Moody Blues, first show I ever went to when I was 6 years old. I'll never forget it. Half their band is dead now, but still one of the best shows I've ever been to. So,
yeah, I've been to a lot of concerts. I have not been to a lot of concerts where I wasn't working. So I think that gives me a little bit of a different vibe on it.
That's fair.
I really like Future. I thought he did a really good job. I thought Young Thug sucked. Don't go to a Young Thug concert. Although you might not have the opportunity to go.
No,
to
he's
him.
Probably not going to be. He's only doing concerts in jail now. He's
winning
all the talent shows.
He might
jail.
Be doing the Folsom Blues. Yeah. Let's see. I used to work Watershed, so I worked a couple Watersheds. Luke Bryant put on a great show. Very good. Dierks Bentley was all right. I didn't hate Dierks Bentley. Darius Rucker was awesome. That was a great concert to work. And then anything EDM, don't do it. It's the worst thing of all time. I almost went bald 4 years earlier because they almost set my hair on fire. It is horrible. Don't go to any EDM festivals. If someone asks you to go to an EDM festival, you need to delete their phone number from your phone. Do not be friends with them. EDM is not my jam.
I'm going to say this. I'm not a big festival dude.
They're interesting.
I don't care that much to be there for that long for that many different artists. So I happen to be at it's called Lovers and Friends, and it's in Vegas. And you know, everybody was there. It was Usher and Lil' Kim, all these people, and literally by halfway through it, I was like, okay, ready to go back to my hotel. It's hot, it's crowded, it's whatever. Like, it's too much standing. I'm cool.
Getting old's fun, isn't it?
I love it.
Well, it's too long, and no one takes a shower. So by day 3, everyone smells like you know what.
Yeah,
and everyone's
all
drinking
one day
too much.
Thing too, so it was,
it's so disconcerting when you walk in at the beginning of like a festival or celebration. A lot of hot people around, and they're all just yummy. And then in about 2 hours, they all smell like complete. No thanks.
Well, I mean, I want you guys to enjoy your Sunday, though. Get out there, do some festivals, do some everything. Will, thanks for coming in, bro. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you, boys.
Absolutely, man. For Will Ortner, for Jordan Schultz, Rashad Taylor. Mahalo at y'all next week. Peace.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.